Dylan is going to hell.
We're
going to
really take a hard, critical look at the people that society's decided to hate. The billionaires, the dictators, the CEOs.
On Gas Digital Network.
We know that there are bad things in the world. There are bad people. And thank God for them.
Won't you join him?
What's good without evil?
Live from the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, North Carolina, it's Tim Dillon's Going to Hell. I am kidding, folks. I know that that is believable. Where is it? Is it Charlottesville? Where is that?
I assume Charlottesville. I didn't have a map with a pinpoint like you, like hoping to go there.
Is it in Virginia? The University of Virginia. It's not in North Carolina.
UVA is University of Virginia, but isn't... I think it's Charlottesville, though.
Yeah. Folks, we are informed. I think that's what this comes up. We do the research.
What is this, like an anti-white thing? This yeah. Anti-white rally?
We don't come in here and just shoot off our mouths.
This is an Israel thing?
We don't even know the state this is happening.
How does this relate to 9/11?
Right. What a day. We're sitting here. We had a scheduling conflict this week, so we're kind of late to the game, so we are broadcasting on Saturday, and we're just getting, social media is flooded with these pictures of what appears to be a gathering gone awry.
It didn't seem amicable.
Right. People are angry at each other.
Well, look, I mean, I'm sure by the time this airs or whatever, you'll have...
Tomorrow.
There'll have been a massacre that, and we'll be right. In trouble for making light of it, even though...
Right.
To be clear, only one person's dead so far.
One person is dead.
We're not recording before right. The mass shooting or whatever. Oh, this is going to get bad.
19 injured, one dead. We still got to go in here and lay down some jokes.
I mean, we could just ignore it, but...
Well, what are you going to do? We are going to ignore it for the majority of the episode.
What do you say? Like, these, like... they're holding torches. Like, I don't know who... I understand the alt-right likes to troll. It's how they get their power. But is anyone looking at the optics and saying, like, maybe there's never been anything good with people holding torches?
Well,
has
I think
ever
that...
been, like, what, Frankenstein or, like, killing some, like, yeah. Young immigrant? The torches are never a good look.
I mean, these are dudes who saw American History X and were inspired.
Yeah. Like, I only like the black and white scenes.
Yeah, the supermarket scene in American History X is what they aspire to. There's an ugliness, a real ugliness to extremism of any sort. But specifically when you see in America people walking down the street with Nazi flags and they're well-dressed, that's a thing. They're like in golf shirts. They have khakis on. It's like the Nazi next door. It really does lend credence to the idea that, like, living next door to you is somebody who's, like, at their breaking point, ready to, flip.
But it's, like, it's weird because these people would never thrive in Nazi Germany. They're slobs, right. And they're disorganized.
This is an interesting angle that you have. They're not good enough to be Nazis.
Well, I just mean...
This is an interesting take.
Good enough is not the right word, but, I mean, the
like
Nazis...
Like, I called Ray, we talked about it this morning, and what'd you say? You're like, this isn't the Wehrmacht, or whatever it is.
The Wehrmacht.
Yeah, this isn't the Wehrmacht. These guys couldn't hold a candle.
Well, you're mischaracterizing it.
Yeah.
I'm more making the
point. What's your Himmler line?
Oh, well, yeah. It's like, I knew Joseph Himmler. I was friends with Joseph Himmler. You, Mr. Spencer, are no Joe Himmler.
It's like an interesting take. Like,
yeah, it's a joke. But the point is, the Nazis were
these
terrible.
These are soft, suburban.
The Nazis were famous beyond just killing a lot of Jews and gypsies and homosexuals, but for how organized they were when they were doing it.
I love that you throw in gypsies.
It's true.
Yeah.
And homosexuals.
Sure.
I'm not,
You're an intersectional guy. Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, carnival workers.
Yeah.
Everybody. It's not good, folks. It's not heading you any good place.
I don't know what the end game is here. I do think North Korea is an interesting thing.
Yeah, bluster. It's a lot of
bluster. I do think that it's possible, and I don't back Trump. Everyone who listens knows I don't back Trump. That being said, this could be the one thing he does well.
Well, let's hope.
It could go bad, but the idea that the idea that you have a guy in the White House who you and me honestly don't know if he's going to nuke North Korea.
We don't know if he's going to nuke New Jersey.
Exactly.
We don't know what he's going to do.
So it does, like, we're talking about Kim Jong-un and what he, like, the State Department's telling us and the fucking what the what are they called again? The we talk about it with the CIA guy.
The
think tank.
Which think tank?
The one, the big one. The one, the CFR.
The Council on Foreign Relations.
This is not great. Sorry. The CFR.
Sorry.
Fucking, you know, like this uniform idea of what, you know, how North Korea will react to, like, what we do in our aggression. Like, oh, this will not work because, you know, they are an insulated nation. Like, all this bullshit. It's all been written without the idea that a guy like Trump's in the White House scaring the shit out of him.
Right.
People act like, oh, you can't intimidate them. Like, Trump won't intimidate this guy. Are you a guy who has 1,000 nuclear warheads at his disposal?
Yeah.
And the greatest military of all time, who's also a lunatic, wouldn't put him on edge?
Right.
I think it might.
Yeah, I think this might, you know, to underscore your point, this might be what, like, Trump might have just been a president for nuclear war.
Yeah.
Like, that might have been his one issue.
I'm not saying he's going to nuke
them. I'll be very good at a nuclear war, like, card
bluffing.
Game.
Bluffing, yeah, exactly, yeah. The bluffing part.
Yeah, I'm very good at nuclear war poker, but everything else, I don't know. Here's my whole thing on North Korea. I don't know. I mean, I don't think Kim Jong-un is going to write his death warrant by firing.
Right. There's a difference between a guy being irrational the way Kim Jong-un is and not being a rational operator.
Right.
Like, he's still a guy who runs a country, who has self-interest. He's not just some raving lunatic, white, you know, throwing feces at people. Like, he is psychotic, perhaps, but he's not. He has his own self-interest.
There's a method to the madness, yes. Folks. The guy, he always looks like he's having fun. If you take photos of him out of context, he looks like he's having a party all the time.
He is having a party all the time. That's his life.
Yeah. He just likes planning nuclear wars, you know?
I mean,
that's the reality.
They say, you
know, he's like a real housewife, except his dinner party is a nuclear war. He has all his generals around. They got, you know, blueprints out. He's smiling.
What bugs me is that everyone is so willing to, like, lap up this, like, idea that, like, no, they have a working nuclear bomb now, and, like, now, and they have an ICBM that can hit California. On some level, I mean, are you not questioning the fact that, oh, this is another call to war? This is another, like, pre-Iraq thing, a pre-Afghanistan thing.
Right.
Are we not, like, saying, oh, maybe someone wants a war with North Korea?
Yeah, I think that the way that we process information now with social media and everything, I think at a certain point, you know, hysteria is the rule and not the exception. So I do think it's you know, troubling. You have a nuclear state. It's a rogue state. It is a, you know, when you read about it, Christopher Hitchens wrote a great article about North Korea. You know, it is a very, the society itself is an impoverished state. It's millions of people have starved there.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, it's a miserable place to live. The people there are genuinely have a cultish admiration for this leader.
They've been programmed from birth.
Yeah, completely programmed.
No, it's an atrocity. It's a human rights atrocity what's happened in that country.
Yeah.
That being said, all right, so, like, let's just say we invade. What are you going to do? You have all these programmed people. What are you going to liberate them? And then what? Like, it's kind of a bad situation.
There is no invasion.
Right.
And I mean, I don't think there's anything like that. I think really this is the big one, or it's not at all. I don't think there's any. And the reason why China doesn't really want this war is they don't want a destabilizing flood of refugees.
Right.
Which this would produce.
Sure.
You know, nobody wants that. But again,
get Trump to build a wall over there for him.
Yeah, it's where the wall. But at the end of the day, there's almost not that much to talk about because it's like, you don't know. There are things where you don't know, and you hope that it solves itself.
I just wish, I feel like there's a lot of people who claim to be anti-war. And I feel like the best way to be anti-war is to not be afraid when they bring up these ridiculous headlines.
Right.
And sometimes, maybe they're not ridiculous. Maybe they do have a suitcase nuke. All right, stop losing your shit over it, because that fever you're having, oh, maybe we'll go, you may have people who are like, oh, we'll have a nuclear holocaust, oh, what's going on? Like, that's the first step to a fucking war.
Yeah, that feeds into this whole idea that we need to do something.
Right.
And I think the idea that we need to do something is a bad thing. I think... you
it's
know, and now Trump also said, like, you know, maybe there's a military option on the table for Venezuela. It's like,
when you flipped that in?
Oh, yeah, this is today.
What are they even doing down there?
I mean,
I know it's not great, but
I mean, like, what are we going to do here?
He, this, and he's gambling because it might not work at all.
Yeah.
But this, it whether or not he renew court North Korea or whatever, it'll probably be the best he is. So he's trying to do the Bush route. Like, I know I'm a weird fuck up, but we're gonna go to war with Iraq, and I'm gonna be seen as a big leader. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't even know what he's got left anymore. I don't know what, but it's bad. And he kind of, you know, he's got this, literal, civil war-esque. Now, obviously, these are very small groups of people relative to the population of the country. However, with the amount of emotion it inspires, I mean, you've got something on your hands here.
You're talking about the UVA thing.
Yeah. I mean, you've got something on your hands here that...
It's interesting to see the past, and we're not the first people, of course, to mention, the past 20 years, like, the arms race, the intellectual arms race towards just... less and less nuance and less like, it's like, yeah, the alt-right is garbage.
Right.
And the political left is all, and I don't mean like the Democrats, but the left in the universities and like the way, like there is a violent streak that's been going on.
Yeah, this has been happening on both sides. Nobody wants to talk. People do not want to have conversations. So if you don't want to have a conversation or a debate, the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to have violence.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what's going to happen.
I mean, it's like this Google guy this week. You know, and look, I read the memo. It's a complicated issue because it's not hateful when you read the memo.
No. Now,
you could probably argue that, like, well, it's justification for... Yeah, I get what you're saying, but it's not... When you read it, it's very rational. That being said, I believe it's very, very possible that it's all wrong because it's based on science that, like... While what he's saying, if the science is true, oh, that makes sense. I do think the science is misleading and incorrect, but it's also the way the media just latched onto this.
Yeah, well,
David Brooks had a column today in the Times. He made a point. It was like, I've never seen a situation like this where everyone had a text where the text was so drastically misrepresented.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
yeah, it's true. Listen, you should be able to ask a question. This guy didn't make a declarative statement. He should have been able to ask a question.
It was a very nuanced article. I do think he's wrong. Basically, I read some stuff about the studies he was quoting, and I don't. That being said, at the end of the day, what fucking job can you be at where you're like, hey, here's what's wrong with you guys, CEOs and shit.
Well, I think he was trying to defend the company against the charge of discrimination and bias. I think he was actually trying to say maybe there are other explanations for why women aren't represented in certain positions that aren't strictly discrimination.
Yeah, but he was also like taking criticism of like the actions the company's been taking, the fact that people get these classes.
But all of these things are one in the same.
Right.
When you look at the problems that are really deeply infecting the body politic, they're all a similar theme, which is that hysteria rules the day.
Right.
And people retreat into their perspective camps, and they believe that they hold all the absolute truth in the world, and everybody else is wrong. And everybody else shouldn't be engaged, and you shouldn't debate them, and you shouldn't even have a conversation with them. And I think that's the problem. I listen, and then there's a lot of mental illness in this. I know mental illness well. I have a mother who's mentally ill. She didn't just go crazy.
Right.
She went crazy over a period of decades where she was, first it was she was eccentric, and then it was she's, she's out there. And then it was like, she's a bit off, And then it was like, she needs to be in a cage, But it went.
I've seen that cage.
It went. And this is what happens. And I was, my grandmother died last year. We are selling her house. She lived in a small bungalow.
Is it going forward?
We're cleaning out the house first. So.
Did you start?
We started. We started yesterday.
I don't know if the listeners understand. This is a big deal. This has been going on for
a year, and we finally started to clean out the house. And my aunt had said to me, because it was the house had nothing in it. It was the attic. And my aunt goes, the dreaded attic. She used to talk about the attic. And I was like, she's clearly being dramatic. What could a fucking attic have in it?
Christmas ornaments?
Right, you would think. But I'll tell you this. Here's a reality. 40 years of my mother's mental illness is in that attic.
Now, was she a hoarder?
Yeah. Okay. She was a hoarder.
Like a clean one, though?
No.
Like, oh, so you lived like in a hoarder house for a while.
I mean, there were rooms that were hoarder rooms.
Okay.
And then you would shut the door, and then you would kind of, you know, there were rooms that people didn't go in.
Right.
We would have family parties. It'd be like, this room's off limits. And, you know, there'd be always some lie. Like, oh, we put everything in that room because we're painting the other, you know. But my mom and dad, I didn't realize, they got married when they were like 22 and 23 years old. That is a fucking crazy time to get married.
Did they get married because of you?
No, they got married and then didn't have me for 10 years.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And I think what happened was my mother started to exhibit signs of, you know, her issues and her problems. And because you're an Irish Catholic family, nobody talks about it. But in the attic, just to give you an idea, we are pulling out boxes of, and I don't mean boxes like small, I'm talking about coffin-sized bins of Beanie Babies, McDonald's toys, cataloged, put in plastic bags, fucking Burger King toys, all these Disney toys, plush Finding Nemo fucking fit.
Do they have the robot that like the hamburger but then turns into a robot?
Probably.
You can get me some of those.
Yeah. And my mother was under the impression that she was going to sell all of this one day and make a killing, because at one time there was like more of a market for this shit than there is now.
Right.
I'm talking about boxes of Hess trucks. Remember the Hess trucks?
Yeah. What do they sell for on eBay, though? Like, are they actually collectible?
They were at one point. But, I mean, now I think you can't give away a Hess truck.
Right.
I mean, the whole digital revolution is kind of, a lot of these things aren't nearly as valuable. And a lot of the crazy people who wanted them have probably died off. Or, like my mother, are in mental institutions and can't buy them. It's like, Mom, your demographic is next to you in the nut house.
Like, what happened to stamp collecting? Oh, the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah. So it's like me and my aunt. Now, my aunt's a good person, and my aunt's trying to do the right thing. And I tell my aunt, I said, here's what you got to do. Here's what you do. You tell my mother all of this shit got, because we're taking down Christmas decorations.
Right.
From the 70s, we're taking down.
Just like aluminum tinsel.
So much of what people store is Christmas decorations. And it's like, it becomes like, you know, crazy because, number one, we were always broke. We were like always fucked. So who in God's name is buying all these Christmas decorations while my dad is like barely working? My mother is a fucking swim teacher. She has no fucking money. Right. And yet the thing we just, it's just.
I mean, when's the last time these fucking decorations went up?
Decades. Years ago.
Are these even from, these aren't your grandma's?
No. These are like from our old house. And they're all.
Why would you keep that shit?
It's an emotional thing. I don't know what a hoarder. I think hoarders are keeping all of. Do you know why? What the emotional thing is?
I think
is?
It's usually like they were some of the abandonment issues, I think, but deep ones, like child, like early childhood abandonment, stuff like that. They lost someone very close to them, and like they don't want to throw away the memory, but then it evolves from that. Me, I mean, I'm a disgusting slob. I live in filth, but I just threw away my birth certificate. I don't give a shit.
Like, well, that you shouldn't have thrown away.
Probably not, but you know, like. My point is, you can't get attached.
I just threw my passport away. You can't.
I have the passport now. Why do I need a birth certificate?
You can't hold on to things. You don't throw out your paperwork. But my mother, so my aunt goes like this. My aunt calls my mother and starts, we find two doll heads. Heads.
What?
Of dolls. Two doll heads.
Just where?
In one of these boxes. These are just boxes.
Just a box of a doll?
You open these boxes up. There are.
Where did she get them?
They were on dolls at one point.
And she removed it?
No, something happened. You know, the doll fucking, you know, maybe something happened with the doll.
So the doll's dress got covered in
the
blood.
The doll broke.
But I still want the head.
Yeah, who knows? There are costumes for plays that I was in 93 in boxes in this attic. This is how crazy.
Do you still fit into them?
No, but I thought that would be a fun photo shoot. I did think that would be a lot of fun. If I dressed up as the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy again.
Yeah.
So my aunt calls my mother and starts to try to like reason with her and go, we're getting rid of some of this shit. And my mother goes, those dolls are worth $5,000 each. They're from France. And I'm like,
did you look into it?
Not Ray.
They might be.
They're not.
What if they are?
I told my aunt.
Your pocket of money is my point.
I said, listen. You got to tell her all this shit got damaged.
I'm going to go talk to your mom tomorrow. We're going to... I feel like you guys are
Celeste, that's an unholy alliance.
There's a lot of value that's not being left on the table here.
That's an unholy alliance if there ever was one, is you and my mother.
Listen to me, Miss Dillon.
Listen to me, Miss Dillon. I believe you. The rest of these people are fucking... Listen, I get it. I get it. Do you have the thing with the hamburger that when it makes a little... So I told my aunt, I said, listen... You got to throw this shit out. You got to tell my mother it got damaged. You got to lie.
Yeah.
And there's going to be one big fit. My mother's going to throw a fit, but you're either going to have that or you're going to have a million little fits, like the one you just had.
Right.
And my aunt's like, well, because my aunt's got this hoarder thing too, but nowhere near as extreme as my mom.
Right.
Because my aunt will say things that don't make any fucking sense to me. My aunt will be like, you know, this is a great dresser. We'll be like taking a dresser out of the attic. She's like, this is a great dresser. You know, where do you need a dresser? I'm like, I don't need a dresser, and this is not a great dresser. Here's why. It's been in an attic for 15 years. It's no longer a great dresser.
Right.
And this is in an attic where it's been rained on. This is not like...
It lived through Sandy.
Yeah, Hurricane Sandy. This is not... It's not in storage.
Right.
It's not in a museum.
Did the attic get humid at all during Sandy?
Of course.
I imagine it would.
So my aunt goes... So now there's a white elephant sale in...
What does that mean?
This is a garage sale that the church, our church in our town, Island Park, they do like every year, they do like a San Gennaro, which is a festival. There's one big one in Little
Italy.
The street festival
where you get like sausage and peppers and you fucking,
Zeppoli, whatever. There's a big one in Little Italy. There's one in our town. They have a like garage sale to support the church where you donate stuff and the church sells it and then pays off kids they fucked. Yeah. I don't know what they do with the money, but I'm guessing. So here's what happens. My aunt goes, we're taking this to the white elephant because somebody will use this dresser. And I'm like, this is crazy shit.
Wait, she's some Indian with a buffalo? Who gives a shit if it gets used?
That's what I'm saying. Like, she's like, this will have another home in someone's house. It's, you know, and I'm like,
it's an inanimate fucking object.
Yeah, who cares? And I'm like, and I was just in the Hamptons. I did a fundraiser for some rich people. And like, I haven't spent a ton of time around rich people, but I've spent enough time to know that that does never goes through their head.
Right.
Like, the idea that, like, oh, I hope a nice family gets this old dresser, they throw it out. They just put it on the street. And my aunt's like, we keep dropping shit off at this fucking garage sale for the church. You can tell the people at the church don't even want this shit.
I don't think Henry Frick like held on to the truncheon he used to pummel peasants. You know, he wasn't sentimental.
Yeah. So the whole idea of like, I keep walking in this fucking garage sale and these old ladies are like, you've got more? And I'm like, this is, you know... another box of stuff, and do you guys want a dresser and a stool? We bring them a stool, and like, I just tell my aunt, I'm like,
look, here's the thing, you can't just throw all that in the street, so this might be cheaper than getting the
dumpster. That's the other thing, I guess you can't, right? So, but my aunt's like, well, we're gonna have your mother come Monday and pick out what she wants to save. And I said, Donna,
this is the wrong move. When's the last time your mother left? Like, how often does she leave the facility?
I take her out to lunch all the time.
Okay, but like, actually, you know, like, when's the last time she went in the attic?
Oh, forget it. Probably around Sandy.
Just never tell you sold the house.
This is the other thing. I'm like, so Donna's like, I want to do the right thing by my sister. I'm going to let her keep one box of stuff, you know,
that's
and I'm going to store it for her. And I'm like, well, this is my thing. I'm like, Donna, the idea that you're going to bring my mother in to, so I'm not going to be there.
That's going to be a nightmare.
It is going to be. I told Donna, I said, get like ice cream for her, get like a bunch of shit that will get her favorite fucking, you know, soda. Make sure that if she wants pizza, you order it for her. Like, don't, because she's gonna lose her shit when she sees all this stuff. Because my mother was arguing that the head of a doll was worth, she's like, it's an antique from France.
This is me. All right, so what year are we talking about here? This is doll head. Is this from the 18th century? I could do something with this.
Listen to me. I have a great idea. We take these two doll heads. We make a body. We put two heads on one body. Double the price. Boom. But yeah, I told my aunt, I'm like, this is just, but there's something about the poor that hold, like my aunt's like, well, we never had houses. We never were able to kind of keep what we wanted to. So eventually once we got houses, we just kept everything. I'm like, no, this is an emotional problem.
Right.
That I don't, I have a lot of emotional problems. I don't have that. I don't have hoarding.
Yeah.
I want everything away. I live simply.
It's the kind of thing. And I don't know if you get to the level of like a hoarder. Where if I feel like hoarding is one of those mental illnesses.
Yeah.
There's certain ones that like schizophrenia, that just happens. Maybe it's environmental shit. But I feel like there's some things like I could see myself doing little OCD things and I make myself stop.
We could
like,
too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like if you indulge that over time, it becomes a thing. You feed it and you feed it. And hoarding is like that where it's like you allow yourself to have this release and it just becomes, it dominates you. But that being said, like, it's a kind of thing that if you don't get that far, when I lost all my shit in the storage unit, I had all my shit in the storage unit and then they forgot to pay and then everything I ever owned was just gone.
Right. And they were human beings.
Wow.
These were real people in here. These were I'm like, shh, Ray, don't say anything. Listen to me. This was the remnants of a girl who worked at Sonic. But
liberating is my point.
It was, you start to, what kind of creeps you out is you start, when you're going through all this shit, you're like, oh, this is somebody's illness. This isn't even physical stuff anymore.
Right.
You're like, oh, this is somebody's illness. My mother used to pick up garbage on the street, like tables and chairs that people threw out. And she would go, I'm going to refurbish it.
Yeah.
And we're going to put it in the house or we're going to resell it. And like, you know, my dad was kind of checked out. Like, he was just trying to work. He was trying to work on his music. He was playing music at night, working during the day. He was kind of all over the place. And, like, we were talking about it last night, and I'm like, how did this get so bad? How did nobody stop this? And my aunt was like, listen, people back then just rather, you know, there was no, and there's very little now understanding of, like, mental health,
right,
mental illness. And she was just like, people just kind of let your mother do what she wanted. Your mother wanted things, she would go out and buy them. And when you go through all this shit, you're like, this is fucking crazy.
Do you think, like, you looked at, like, you have much more direct experience with it?
Yeah.
And I'm not at all saying it's not biological, but do you think there is anything to that, the idea that, like, I mean, you have to be in a certain position for it to be in that position, but, like, kind of like the same way I would get fat but I just not caring and eating too much, and then you give up, like with the mental illness, like, kind of at a certain point you stop like fighting it, or you fighting these tendencies.
Yeah, I think it's progressive.
Right.
So I think, like anything else, it's progressive. I think if you know what it is, you have a better chance of fighting it.
Right.
But if you don't know what it is,
yeah,
and if it's happening to you, it's easier to know you're getting fat because you're fat.
Right.
You could see you're fat.
But there is that. I mean, I don't know if you feel the same way, but there is, as you're getting fatter, there is a disconnect where you kind of like,
yes,
your brain doesn't like, you shift it from, it's like, I'm not, it's just like, yeah, I'm just, my tits are slightly bigger, but you know, my belly's fine.
It happened to me the other day where I saw myself and I was like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck? And that happens. But I think when you're like, when you're slipping mentally,
right,
it might be harder for you to catch.
So you can't be on the outside, really.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is kind of tough. But I mean, I was sitting in this fucking, and we're going through old, I mean, bills from 1978.
Bills?
Bills. Bills in fucking envelopes in milk cartons from the 70s.
I mean, that, look, that
crazy.
During the will hearing for these doll heads, that could come in handy.
Wouldn't it be funny if somehow in this my mother has like the Hope Diamond, you know, or you know, because
there's got to be something worth.
Well,
something
my
there.
Aunt was treating it like Antiques Roadshow, where she's like, "This isn't anything, but maybe this is," and I'm like, burn it all," because I'm like,
"Is there any camera equipment?"
I don't know, probably. But
that's not worth anything.
No, my whole thing is this. Listen, unless you have a fucking copy of the Declaration of Independence in one of these fucking drawers, burn this shit. Get it out of here. You don't need it. Who needs? My aunt was like saving old ornaments. She's like, this takes me back to when I'm 3. I'm like, number one, why do you want to be back to when you're 3? Number two, like, get rid of this shit.
My mom loves Christmas ornaments. Yeah. All right. She like has, I don't know about yours, but she has all these little tchotchkes and like individual things. It takes up one decent sized box.
No, this is We brought 20 boxes down yesterday.
Ornaments?
20 to 30 boxes of just different things.
Okay.
15 to 20% of it is Christmas ornaments. And yeah, I mean, you have those dolls, you know, the dolls where their arm moves and they're holding like the candle.
Nutcracker?
No, but you know, the dolls in the windows, like you'll see the moving dolls in the windows.
Yeah.
You have those. You have, I mean, Dr. Seuss stuffed animals. You have a Lorax. You have, you know, I mean,
it's hard for me to give like constructive advice because I used to watch Hoarders, like, and with people, my friends, and I would start screaming at the screen. I hated these people. And I know because I can see the tendency in myself. I know it's a self-hate thing. And there is... Again, I'm no psychologist, but my point of view, there is no reasoning with it. You're not going to get her to, like, pick her 10 favorite things.
That's what I was trying to tell my aunt. You got to lie to her, tell her it got damaged, and then say, here's what we saved. You know, my aunt's like, oh, your mother loves carousels. We brought down 3 different carousels. I'm like, what is my mother going to do with a carousel in the nut house?
I always said my plan would be if someone in my family was doing this, I would come to, and if they didn't, you know, you give a couple of fair warnings.
Yeah.
And then one day I would take her out to dinner.
Yeah.
We'd come home and the house would be on fucking fire.
I love that that plan wouldn't work because no one would agree to go out to dinner with you.
Listen, I'll buy you dinner. Where do you want to go? Listen, I'll pay you. Listen, just come to meet me at a diner. It's always no. I've been trying to do it for 10 years. She won't get in the car with me. I don't understand why.
But it's bad, man. It's like, it's just some of the shit you saved. And I'm like, and it's just like, Irish people have such a dark history that people don't understand.
There really is.
It's a real dark.
I mean, it's the alcoholism, the mental illness. What is Ireland's biggest contribution to the world?
Gab, talking, stories.
Just bullshit.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We're talkers. A lot of Irish guys and cops. We're fucking...
Yeah.
We're hitting people with clubs.
Hitting minorities.
We're clubbing you or we're telling you a tale. That's it. I asked my aunt about my other grandfather, my grandmother's husband, because I had heard that he had had a drinking problem and some pills and, you know, he had a heart attack. So I asked her, I was like, because I'm like, who's got heart problems in the family? And she tells me this story last night. Sitting in the midst of all this junk and the ruin, she tells me this story. She goes, She goes, my father had like a 160 IQ. Guy was like a genius.
This is the one who built the huge house and all that.
No, that was my other grandfather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he didn't have near that IQ. Okay. He was an operator. You know what I mean? Right. Like, these are guys that
get things
done.
This is your mom's father.
This, what I'm talking about now, is my mother's father.
Okay.
160 IQ, was a Christian brother, very smart guy that he taught biology. You know, he was taking bromine, something.
Okay, yeah.
Got bromine poisoning, went nuts, walked into the house one day. My grandmother, he was like, I'm hungry. She goes, all right, make some dinner. He started opening a can of mushrooms. The mushrooms exploded. The can was bad. He lost his mind, kicked the TV, ran out, went into a mental institution. They're like, we got to do electric shock on him or he'll never get better. So the guy goes insane. And they send him to a hospital, and the hospital's like, we got to do fucking shock therapy, electroshock therapy. I tell my grandmother, we have to do it, unless he'll never be normal.
So they're not going to let him go.
Right. So I think they do it to him, and then he comes back, he like flips out again, then he has like a heart attack.
Like right after?
I think so. And like, it's just crazy. And that's like the story of his death.
Do you think someone poisoned him?
I don't know what was going on. He had bromine poisoning. I don't know.
So within the span of a week or two, like, he's gone from being a scientist.
Right.
This esteemed man to like,
right.
What are the fucking mushrooms? I gotta get the fuck out of here.
To losing his mind. He kicked in the TV. It's crazy. And it's like, this is the Irish.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
The poisonous people.
There's no good end. It's a dark, dark road for the Irish.
I don't... What like, history of the Irish?
Yes.
Like, what's their high point? Kennedy, I guess?
The famine? The potato famine? They had a purpose?
They never really ran anything.
Kennedy was the Boss Tweed?
Yeah.
That, Tammany Hall?
I guess that's an accomplishment.
And then... and, I mean, Kennedy was it.
Yeah.
And you saw what happened to him, you know?
Not all countries are equal.
It's, you know, what are you going to... But my aunt's telling me this. We're sitting in this hoarder house, and I'm like, man. This is how I'm going out.
Let's hope.
There's no good end. Yeah, that would be the best way I'd go out. He got poisoned. And
someone shocked him because he fucked mushrooms. I don't know. He's dead now. Move on. Have a drink.
In the middle of the day, I go, what? You have what? What is your phone?
It's a Galaxy S7.
It's good?
It's fine. I mean, this is my second one because it had some weird pink line on it. Pink fucking, like... I don't know. It's crap. It's like the screen's big, but it's fine. I mean, I just look at my life.
Right. This
look
is
at
fine.
Me. Am I nitpicking my phone? I can watch porn on it.
Right.
And I fucking, it's whatever. But I like it.
In an Uber pool.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Listen, give it to him good.
Miss, have you seen this one?
Have you seen this one? Businessman gets pegged. Have you watched this one? It's great.
It's something you'd be interested in. I have money.
Would you like to see it? It gets a little messy in the end. You have to do you have to do a little prep work before you just go in there. So
what happens is I go into Sprint yesterday to get a charger, and then I sit down and go, where am I on the fucking upgrade? He sits me down. You know, the guy who sells cell phones in Sprint.
Right.
He's like an overweight guy. He's got like a scar on his head. He's just trying.
That's terrible.
It's sad.
I went to the T-Mobile, because I have T-Mobile. I went to the Bedford T-Mobile store to get my phone. And these people are like wheeling and dealing, and they look good, and they're like dressed like they had a shitty T-Mobile shirt, but like they look nice.
Long Island Sprint store, they just took over a Radio Shack and literally just hung Sprint on the banner.
Okay.
So I walk in there, a fat guy, scar on his head, he's like getting excited because he's about to make a sale.
Like he's wetting his lips.
Yeah, he's wetting his lips. He's like, honey, we're eating tonight. You know, dollar menu, but we're eating. So he goes.
He's trying to sell you the fucking belt holder for the phone?
You can get a new phone now. And I said, okay. He's like, you got to pay $100 because your screen's cracked. And if you want 120 gig, new iPhone 7, you got to put 120 down. But I'm like, fine. I'll walk out of here 250. Fine. I want it. Everything. Right?
Yeah.
So now he gets to the point in the transaction where he keeps hitting error. He keeps getting an error. He goes, they won't take the phone back. There's some error. I'm like, what the fuck's the problem? He's like, it's just a clerical thing. I'm like, we got to clear this up. I'm sitting there now like 20 minutes. The guy goes, all right. He calls. Sprint has a customer service, a sales support that he has to call. And he reroutes him to a guy in another country. And they keep hanging up on him. The sales support keeps hanging up on this guy, and the guy, he keeps going to me, he goes, I'm sorry. He's like, you would have had to do this anyway. I'm like, yeah, but this can't be the system.
Did you go to a Sprint store, or did you go to authorized Sprint dealer?
It was a Sprint store.
Okay.
Sprint
store.
It was
legit, like factory, whatever, a company
store.
Who
knows? It says Sprint on the outside.
There's a difference between having the banner that says Sprint and being a Sprint store.
But it was all Sprint.
I'm saying, I don't know if they're still around, but back when cell phones were big in the aughts in the 2000s, like, there was on every block, now they're vape stores,
right.
But they were just, like, Indian dudes who would, like, just, it would say, authorized T-Mobile, Verizon, whatever, but they didn't have the t-shirts that say T-Mobile, they didn't have the real deal.
No, but this guy's in the Sprint shirt, and this poor guy, he sees the sales getting away, and he calls the poor guy again. And he's talking to guys like, we can't override this. We don't know what's going on. And it's literally just a system problem. I'm like, you got to have a better system where, like, literally, you're going through what I go through when I call Sprint. You're going through customer service. He's like, yeah, well, this is sales support. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm here. Now it's 40 minutes. I'm sitting in the chair. I've walked onto the lot. I want to buy. I have the money. And
but
this poor guy.
He doesn't have a boss he can go to?
The boss just was shrugging in the back. The boss is like 18. Like, I don't know what's going on. So they fucking hang up on him again. They disconnect him again. He just rolls his chair and just stares out the window.
He was sitting the whole time?
Yeah. He has this moment where he just stares out the window, and you can tell that he's like, what is my fucking life, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, buddy, I'm like, I feel bad, but like, I got to get out of here. And he doesn't even look at me. He just goes, can I call you when I straighten this out? And I'm like, buddy, I'm going back to the city. I'm probably going to get it done in the city. And he just like... nods. He just looks, and he's just like, and as I walk out, I turn back to the window and I see him just looking there, sitting there just shaking his head. Just like, he's just like, I had him. So, and I was an idiot. I was gonna spend $400. I was gonna buy everything. I was like, I'll get the bigger seven. I was who you want,
right?
and just the fucking system wouldn't work. And he and this, this and I said to him, I'm like, you gotta have a better system than just calling this. You gotta have some override capacity.
Sprint is just like it's just the whore of the cell phone services.
Yes, bad.
Like every weird Metro PCS, you know, Dildo Nation, whatever fucking cell phone service that gets popped up is always on the Sprint network.
Yes,
it's like they just whore out their network to everyone. It's the only people have that stupid the walkie talkie shit.
Nextel. Yeah,
who the fuck is it?
Literally human traffickers. Yeah, literally that's it.
Right.
He and I said to the guy, I'm like, man. I'm like, I would have bought the phone today. And he's like, I know, man. I know. It was just sad. And it's just like,
I said to him,
I know why I have Sprint. I said, it's because I have bad credit and you're a bad company. And I said, I'm a bad person. And he was just kind of nodding and looking at me. He's like, nah, but you know, is. I said, no, it's a bad thing. And I'm bad. And I get it. But I would have bought that phone. And he was just despondent. The guy was so sad. So fucking sad.
That is like, I wouldn't mind being in jail that much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go to jail. But having that kind of...
Powerless.
Just being a cog in a sweaty wheel.
Yeah.
Just fucking gotta go home to some awful partner of his, wife or whatever. And just fucking explain how he lets some fucking... Because honestly, at the end of the day, what's he making anyway? $50?
Whatever it was.
That slipped through his porky little hands.
But it's all that there is. For him, he's sitting there all day waiting for somebody to walk on the lot. And nobody does. Nobody does. Because nobody's walking in the Sprint store next to Stuff and Bagel.
There's a reason I don't get into the drug trade. You know, like there's a real, like I don't have
number
a
number one, the drug trade has no interest in having you.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I would thrive.
Right.
But there, I have enough.
It was pure when I got it. I don't know what happened.
I don't understand why a guy like him, just fucking get a package put on the street.
He's probably doing that too.
Then he wouldn't care.
No, you're right. Listen, this is a guy who's a good dude.
What's his name? Do you know his first name?
I forget his name.
Of course he did.
Chubby guy. I felt bad. He related to me. We talked about pizza, and I was like, well, I'm here. I'll do it.
Pizza come up.
Because it's next to the pizza place.
All right.
I'm like, yeah, it's not bad in there. He's like, nah, it's good.
So it's good enough.
I said, I'll get this today. I'll do it all right here. He's licking his lips. He's starting to fly off the handle. And then he gets the error code that keeps coming back. And he's like, I don't know.
Is it perhaps the error code because like they realized how bad your credit was?
No, the error code is because I bought a 32 gig.
Right.
And then it wasn't enough. So the next day I went in and I exchanged it for a 64 gig phone. And they never updated the serial number. So when I'm trying to return my new phone, they're still like, hey, the old phone keeps coming up. And it's a simple thing, but he keeps going. He keeps calling sales support and they keep. And like, so then I would say to him, I'd be like, did you get disconnected again? He'd be like, no, 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 they're there. We're just on hold. And then he would look closer at the phone, and then he would go into the phone, and he would go, hello? Hello? Are you still there?
Were they receptive to him when they were talking to him?
No!
It was like, why would a company operate like this?
It's bad.
They just...
They don't care.
There's got to be humans you can talk to. Like, beyond your... His boss didn't come over and resolve it? Like, at that point, he didn't go to his boss and go, hey, this whale is leaving the store. Like, no one tried to stop the train?
And it's true, like, I am what Sprint considers the best case.
Right.
I've got $400 in my bank account, and I'm ready to blow it all on some shiny stuff. And I'm the best case. My credit's fucked. I can't go anywhere else. I've been with you guys since 2005 or 7. Something ridiculous.
I was with you when you tried to go to Verizon and get switched over. They laughed at you.
They threw me out.
Yeah.
They literally, with a knife to my throat, Sprint has...
I remember you asked, and they literally went... It's not good.
Sprint has the promise to pay, which no other thing has. When the bill is due, you can call Sprint and go like this. I'm fucked. Can I pay this in a week or 2 weeks? And they go, yeah, all right.
Can you give us $20 now? Yeah. What do you got in your pockets?
They're like, can you give us anything?
Run your pockets for us.
They go, can you authorize a card now? I said, yeah, but it don't have any money in it. They're like, we don't care. We've got to put a card in. So that's why I've stayed with Sprint, because it has allowed me to be a degenerate.
This just seems like it's asking to be the official carrier of traffickers and drug dealers.
Well, that's T-Mobile. T-Mobile's like, this is... T-Mobile's better. Like, Sprint is not even reliable enough for any trafficker worth his salt. You think a trafficker can deal with an hour of some idiot getting disconnected by sales support? But it was just so sad because I...
How did you get caught? Oh, Fat Larry at Sprint, you know, couldn't get my fucking my family plan back online.
Kept dropping the line. I'll tell you right now, I've been in sales and I know what that's like. And I know, so the store was closing at 8. I walked in at 7:30. About 7 o'clock. And they had already written off like another day of nothing, another day of being a loser, working in a strip mall Sprint. And then Fatty walks in. Fatty needs a charger. Then Fatty starts talking about getting a new phone. All of a sudden, you see that Fatty's on the hook. He hooked himself. He's willing to spend his money, but you just can't make it happen. And the guy's like, it was like a weird date. He's like, can I call you? I'm like, nah, bro. You had an hour. I sat here and I stared at you for an hour, and you couldn't make it happen.
It's like going soft and then like asking the woman, hey, you want to go out again?
Yeah. It's like, go and fucking work for a better company that fucking does this. Right. You're working for a good company. Your Vice thing came out. People love it.
Thank you. I'm getting a lot of warm reception. It's going to be a weekly thing.
Yes.
That happened on Vice. It premieres on the Go90 platform and then moves to Facebook after that.
It's called... What a move. Yeah. It's called That Happened. And what is it about?
It's they're short-form videos, 2-3 minutes, about some of the more interesting and off-kilter...
They're not giving you an hour? They're not giving you a half?
I got coals and fires. Don't worry.
Okay.
But yeah, it's very odd... moments in sports history.
Sure.
Off kilter. The first one was about two Yankee pitchers who swapped families in the 70s.
The one criticism, a sports fan of mine who loves you, a friend of mine, a sports fan who loves you, said that story is kind of known. They're like, we think Ray could have dug deeper. That was a criticism.
Look, I pitched.
It's not me.
I pitched Bobby Fischer on 9/11. On a Venezuelan radio station, fucking applauding the attacks.
But did that happen?
That did happen.
Wow.
We never talked about this?
No.
Oh, we got that should come up next episode.
That's a whole thing.
September on the morning of September 11th, if you don't know who Bobby Fischer is, one of the most famous world chess champions of all time.
As we're doing this episode, there's just a civil war in the streets right now. It's just like Black Lives Matter and these white supremacists like fighting each other. And you're like, Bobby Fischer, 9/11, Venezuelan radio.
On 9/11, he gets on, maybe it's Philippine radio, actually. He's like, look.
Folks, the facts
are. Here's the thing about Bobby Fischer. I grew up, I was a chess player, I was a dork, whatever. I love that movie, Searching for Bobby Fischer. Great film. And they make it seem like he just kind of left and became a hermit and disappeared. No one's heard from him for years. What really happens, everyone knew where he was. He was just like in the streets of New York, blaming the Jews for everything. Like getting into like fucking legal trouble. Fucking just like having his like possessions stolen by like public storage places and
shit.
Do you
think he went to Unite the Right?
Well, he's dead now. He died. I don't know much about
Bobby Fischer.
I think about 5 or 6 years ago, he fucking like had more legal trouble. We'll skip ahead. 9/11. He gets on. Apparently, he was like friends with these Philippine radio guys. So he calls in on 9/11, going, "This is a fucking great day. Finally, the United States gets their fucking teeth kicked in. Oh, the fucking Jews this, the Jews that.
We gotta get the audio for that.
I thought we'd play it, but this is of course we're gonna do that. Yeah.
Oh wow.
But yeah, so that one didn't. So I'm sorry that, you know, I
couldn't. Now, do you get notes back when you pitch that? Do they go?
Well, they just said, no, we're not going to do that. and I was like, oh, but Delonte West, fucking LeBron's mom. That's too speculative. And also, come on, can we play? Disney owns part of the, can we play? We're letting you write this shit. Can you just fucking play ball?
What about if I do a porn with Tanya Harding?
It's been done, sir.
So you're right, but he's right. That one might have been, yeah, people might have heard it before, but I think some of the other ones are more obscure. But yeah, I'm not going to be, you know, finding out who's got an illegitimate daughter on the fucking Philadelphia Penguins. That's not what the show is going to be.
Right. that's the next show.
Yeah, that's what I'm working towards.
How many have you shot so far?
I shot about 5, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Someone also commented in this thing, in the Vice thing, you barely have a speech impediment.
Yeah, I...
You sound great.
Thank you.
What is that?
I don't understand. Because
there are moments on this show where literally it just sounds like this. It just... But
I have to be more conscious. When I'm focused and when I'm like in the zone...
Well, we love it. Everyone loves it.
Right. And I've tried to hide it for years. And in this show, it's just...
No,
like,
it, this
let's
is,
embrace my mush mouth.
They want kid fucking and they want your speech impediment.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they want.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they want. This show is very hard to like dig deep into like what they want. But they want that. Right. I know they want that.
Well, they're getting plenty of it. But yeah, I'm going to have a little more of a pronounced enunciation when I do the show.
And fuck Vivian Kubrick.
Vivian Kubrick fucked us over.
She fucked us over. She starts haranguing me on Twitter about 9/11, telling me that it was a controlled, it was a directed energy weapon.
HAARP. She thinks it's a HAARP thing.
Yeah, it's a HAARP directed energy weapon that took the buildings down. So I said, come on the show and talk about it. Your father is Stanley Kubrick. You can come on the show.
What about that? Like, there's footage of 9/11, and some people go, "Oh, like the planes went in." Some people, there's a few versions, generally speaking. Oh, like the planes went in, but they weren't real planes; they were drone planes.
And, you're right, and military.
And there's like, oh, there's explosions, charged, throughout the building.
Right.
What when you're looking at it, what makes you think it's a laser from space?
Yeah, I don't know, or that they're holograms.
Right.
The planes were holograms. Those buildings, by the way, were designed to collapse the way they collapsed. They were designed to fall inward. I don't know if people know that. That was a design feature of the building so that they collapsed the way that they collapsed because they weren't designed to collapse any other way. They were designed to cave in on themselves.
Right. I think most skyscrapers are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Vivian Kubrick starts arranging me. She's like, the Gulf of Tonkin was all... No, not the Gulf of Tonkin. She says something else about, like, I don't know what she's on. I think it was the Gulf of Tonkin. She's like, that was a false... I'm like, I never said it wasn't, Vivian.
You can listen to Joe Rogan and figure that out.
Well, why don't you come on the show? And then she tells me, she's like, well, I only spoke to Alex Jones because he caught me by surprise, and I can't come on your show.
Vivian Kubrick is a hack.
She's a hack.
Conspiracy hack. Oh, it's lasers from space and fucking Dennis Kucinich probably is her best friend. She's fucking just like, like alien Roswell shit.
Yeah.
Like just fucking no temperance. Her father would be ashamed of her.
Right.
Because he was into some shit.
Of course.
I don't believe he was killed over Eyes Wide Shut like some people do.
Who knows? That's what I told her. I wanted her to say it on the show.
Right.
Because we would, listen, we're looking to get a little traffic here. We're trying to move some units.
I don't know.
So all I needed her to say was this. My father was killed because he exposed the pedophile cult in Eyes Wide Shut.
He didn't.
I know, but which
movie has nothing to do with it. That movie never made me think about pedophiles.
But listen, we need to get the numbers up here. So I thought, Vivian, come on, say some shit about 9/11. Let's ring the bell and let's get it out there. Here's Vivian's take.
I think we gotta start slandering her.
We are. Well, we have been for the last 5 minutes.
Well, that's not, no, I mean, just like,
this
really.
This is all accurate.
We got to start a troll war with Vivian Kubrick. This is going to be our first troll war.
Yeah, it's like.
That's what we haven't had in this
show.
She's
only got 16,000 followers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No one cares.
Who else? We need to troll someone else. Maybe.
Nobody cares about us.
We should start trolling Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God.
That could be good for us.
By the way, I know that she's suing you right now, and I want to let you know that we have your full support.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I want you to know everything she says is unprovable.
I got very excited. It was I met her for the first time.
How great would it be if a Disney star started dating you? How great would it be if, like, Demi Lovato or Ariana Grande started dating you? Remember when Brittany Murphy dated that fat slob? Aren't they both dead now?
You mean, wasn't it Spears and fucking K-Fab you talking about?
No, that was K-Fed, not K-Fab. Kevin Federline and Brittany Spears. But Brittany Murphy dated this fat slob.
Oh, really?
And now they're both dead.
That's nice where they got Brittany Murphy. I get iCarly.
I know.
I could have a year of iCarly, then wind up in a murder suicide.
I think it would be hilarious if one of these Disney starlets started dating you.
I just want someone older, a little more wisdom.
She's like, I just really connected with him. I met him in a parking garage. He was wandering around. He didn't have a car. And I thought that was really cool. I thought that was very interesting. And when I asked him what he was doing, he started babbling about Kermit Roosevelt and the Shah of Iran. And I thought, that's kind of attractive, you know? And it was very interesting.
Yeah, I know how to use my mouth.
Yes. He would fall asleep in the middle of sex and then wake up and he thought someone was killing him. But I liked that. There was something nice about it.
Look, I don't know how to get my foot in the door, but I know once I'm in there, I'm just eating her.
Well, you know,
I'm eating her ass. I'm eating her pussy. She's going to love it.
You know how to get your foot in the door. When she tries to close the door, you put your foot in the door so that she can't close it. And then you use your weight to put it against the door and then fling open the door. You're aware of that.
I'm only into consensual Disney things.
I understand that, but don't lie.
I don't know how to get my foot in the door, but I'll tell you one thing. And if the window's big enough, is it a bay window?
I mean, I would just love if that was a thing. Like if a Disney star had to, like if she was sitting there and they had to ask her, they go, now you're dating somebody who's not a star. You're dating somebody. Is it hard ever for you to date somebody who's not in the business? Is it challenging for them? And she's like, no, I think he's great. And there's just a picture of you like drinking a can of coffee and smoking cigarettes. And she's like, he loves his energy drinks. He loves his caffeine. He loves his smokes.
I love you, Demi Lovato.
In this scenario, am I dressed the same way I'm always dressed?
You dress the same way I've always seen you dressed, with the black kind of industrial shirt that you wear, which is like, so I don't know what...
I have multiples.
What material is it?
It's like polyester blend.
It's a polyester blend shirt.
It's like a sweat wicking thing. Wicking. Right? Wicking? How do you say that?
Sweat wicking. It wicks the sweat off you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need that.
I really liked that he had this black kind of shiny sweat wicking shirt. And I asked him, I was like, what is that? Is that Gucci? And he said, no.
I got it from Amazon.com.
No, it's part of a uniform for a beekeeper. And I just bought it. You can buy it. You got to get Beekeeper Trade magazines, but you can do it.
I would just love, like, that would be amazing. In the same way, I would love if I started dating, like, a 19-year-old star. Aaron Carter came out as bisexual.
It didn't seem a positive thing.
It was on the heels of getting a D-wing.
Right.
It's always tough when somebody...
I'm sorry I got a D-wing, but I want you to know, I suck dick sometimes.
It's like weird when somebody's like, listen, I got to start being honest with myself and being honest with the fans. When I was 13, I had a revelation. And they're like, why did you drive your car into that family? Listen, I'm gay.
Look, cock, I mean, I like it. It's all right. I mean,
but do you know how many times I've jerked off to Aaron Carter? When I was a kid, I want to specify that.
When he was a kid, you're saying?
When
you were a kid.
When I was 15, and he was around 15, when you start jerking it,
sure.
When it's appropriate. I jerked off so much to Aaron Carter, and he was actually gay at that time.
Yeah.
Crazy.
If you only knew, you could have had him.
No, but it's a mind fuck.
That's what always bugs me is people. That's a good girl. Oh, she's got a girlfriend. Yeah, that's what's holding me back.
Yeah. I used to sit down in the shower and jerk with soap to Aaron Carter.
All right, let's get to the real shit. What would you shove in your ass to Aaron Carter?
At one point, here's one thing that is hilarious. Yeah. This is a really funny story. This was when I was older, though. I bought a dildo when I was like 24.
Okay.
And it was way too big. When you go into these shops, I bought this big dildo, and it was very hard. It like barely worked. I mean, it was too big because I was like, you should have a dildo to like, people were like, oh, you have to get your ass ready to get fucked or whatever. So I bought a dildo, and then my grandmother found it. She found this dildo in a box, and she's like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, we're giving it to the secretary at work, Doreen. She's hilarious, and it's like a gag gift. And my grandmother was like, oh, okay. But I don't know. But so I had a dildo. But when you were younger, I don't know, maybe, I think I tried soap in the butt once or twice.
There's a bar of soap in your ass?
I think a bar of soap.
Did you carve it into a cock?
No, and I think you try a shampoo bottle.
Okay.
But Aaron Carter was the guy. That was one of the... And then Jesse McCartney was one of them, too.
Did you envision him topping you or you topping him?
I don't even know what I was envisioning at that point. I can't even remember.
Just a dorky gay kid. You're like, oh, we're just going to be kissing and holding each other.
I don't know if I imagined us ass-fucking immediately.
Right.
But I imagine...
Disappointing.
I imagine... No, I probably imagine us fucking each other. I don't know.
Is that a thing?
Of course.
Can you guys fuck each other at the same time? That, no,
not, it's not possible.
Okay.
You try to invent a way.
I have an invention. Fans have to be able to fuck each other at once. Time is of the essence.
No, so I remember, and the amount of fucking just semen that I have just spilled over Aaron Carter.
Yeah.
Again, at the appropriate time.
Hey, it's like me and Rory Gilmore.
Who the hell's that?
The girl, her name's not Rory. Alexis, the girl from the Gilmore Girls.
She's not even a thing.
I loved her.
Oh, you're disgusting.
Why? She had crystal blue eyes.
I love that little town they lived in. It feels so wholesome.
Of course you would go walk. Black people.
You would go, stop that. That's not true. You would walk. There was, I think.
One guy who's French.
Yeah. That's diversity. But they would walk to like the ice cream shop and they'd get some ice cream. And it was just nice. But I read that thing. Now, Aaron Carter is gross now. He's all methy.
Yeah, now you can get him probably.
I would love him still.
That would be. Here's the thing.
He
ain't going to be the best fuck you ever had, all right?
No.
He ain't going to touch your fist up your ass the way you like it. He ain't going to spit in your mouth the way you like it. That's not why you get Aaron Carter. You get Aaron Carter because it reminds you of that primal cum that used to come when you were fit. There's nothing better than that first
batch. Be careful. Be very careful now. Be very careful.
I'm saying
there's nothing better than when children. Wait a minute.
I'm saying that me. I haven't like it. I remember the first time I ever came to some squiggle porn. Fucking, I was like sitting in a chair and gyrating. I didn't even know what I was doing, and it just came out. And it's never been that good again.
I know. And I would still... Now, Aaron Carter, I could probably get him because he needs like a ride to rehab.
Yeah.
Just drive him to rehab.
You're like at the same star level now.
Kind of, in a weird way. Equalized. Not really. He's still a legend.
All right, well, but it's equalizing, all right? There's like levers. You picture me at home. I'm moving my hands like levers. And that's what Tim and Aaron are doing.
I would still... I mean, and I want to say in a respectful way, but I mean, I would still, I think, eat his ass with a reckless abandon. Like an irresponsible fervor.
We've never really asked the fans to...
Yes.
Well, we've joked about having them like be like an army. And like,
I love in the middle of this episode, Ray's like, is this too low energy? I'm like, we could start talking about fucking Aaron Carter. We could do that.
This is our niche. But no, I'm saying, like, can we get the fans?
We spent 5 minutes on North Korea.
This is low impact, all right? We're not going to hurt Aaron Carter, but can we get the entire Tim Dillon's Going to Hell fan base, the community, our army, or what do they call them, Hellions? Whatever,
I don't know.
Mayonnaise people? Whatever. Can we get them to, like, convince Aaron Carter to let Tim fuck him?
I would love...
He is asking.
How about that? That's low impact.
Yeah, let's put it out there.
Tim
Dillon will eat your ass.
I will eat your ass.
Yeah.
I will eat your ass.
It should be like an internet meme, like Free Kevin. It should be like, I'll eat your ass.
I will eat Aaron Carter's ass.
Yeah, we should get a GoFundMe for this. If we have to, we'll pay him.
Well, okay. I was just about to say, what is the GoFundMe for?
We want to raise $100,000 to give to Aaron Carter and let Tim eat his ass.
He was the dude back in the day.
Which guy was he?
Just a blonde-haired little twink that used to jump around.
He was the brother of the guy in the Backstreet Boys or something?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really knew who Aaron Carter was.
And I was all about him.
Here's the thing with Aaron Carter. I kind of knew, I had heard of him, but we're like the same age. And like, at the point where he got big, we were both too old to watch Disney Channel. So what was going on?
No. Aaron Carter... When I was like, I was growing up, he was one of the dudes. He was one of those guys.
All right.
He's older than me. Look up his age. It's gonna come out horribly. We're like, it's gonna come out to like, we're like, you're like, listen, we've tried to crunch the numbers, and the math basically is this: you were 30 when he was 12 years old. I'm like, no.
Aaron
Carter.
The two A's?
Just fucking fill it in, Ray. Fucking no, it's a two A's. How old is he?
I'm looking. He is Wikipedia.
13.
He's 29.
He's 29?
Yeah. He's right. 3 years younger than you.
So what?
So, I don't know. When you were 15, he was 12.
I don't know if it was when I was 15. It, when when you're 15, you can jerk off to a 12. It doesn't matter.
Fine. Look,
you're jerking off to what you see.
Sure.
I was probably, you know, whatever it was.
Says the man in the park.
I was falling in love with him. I was in love with him. It wasn't just sexual.
Did you envision like going like on yachts with him and like and playing tennis with him?
I don't know what I envisioned, but I will tell you this.
Cooking like omelets naked with him?
He was like, when you're starting to feel those feelings,
yeah.
A lot of guys feel them about girls. And
oh,
for
sure.
Me, it was like people like Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Aaron Carter.
I'm asking because I'm a sweethearted guy.
Yeah.
And I would have these crushes on like Rory. I would think about, you know, like we go to a nice like a vineyard or something and we have a picnic. I just wonder if you had the same, or is it all just assy?
She's like, you've had too much. And you're like, listen to me. You have to understand. Listen, Kennedy's head was blown apart in the middle of the street because he dared to tell the truth. Are you? You've had too much. Is this Merlot? Where's my shoe? I will tell you this. I would have those little moments where I would think about like, you picture somebody like in the fall and they've got like a nice sweatshirt on and
yeah.
You're, you know, it's kind of a cuddly sweatshirt thing.
I really want to make this happen for you. I really, it's not, I don't think these like fantasies are necessarily, but I do think it's within our realm to get your mouth in his ass.
Maybe.
I think we can get this going.
I mean, I pray to God.
I want this for you.
Yeah.
And the show.
I want it for the show and me.
Look. We can change the name of the show. Tim Dillon's going to eat your ass.
Yes, because the advertisers aren't having a tough enough time.
Hey, they wrote us off a long time ago. Yeah. We're going to the deep end.
Wouldn't it be great, a double date? Me, you, Demi Lovato, because she was on drugs, so she might date you.
Okay.
And Aaron Carter.
I'm eating someone's ass that night.
We're in Shake Shack. You're like, I'm going to eat your ass. You can take a shit right in my mouth, Demi.
I would let her piss in my mouth.
You can piss in my mouth.
Yeah.
What if she wanted to shit on your chest? What if?
Like, girl, like,
what if?
Yeah, I'm not into that, but if she, I would.
Right.
I'd let it for her.
What
I'd let
if
it
that's why she dated you?
Yeah, I let it
and
happen.
And she admitted that in an interview. She's like, listen, I take a steaming shit on his face. So few people are willing to let that happen. But he does.
It's just there's a moment of anticipation when the asshole puckers and the shit comes out. And
listen, hey, baby, it's fucking one of the things you gotta do.
That's how I get in the door. But it blossoms beyond that.
Yes, it becomes
I'm
something
I'm not gonna
else.
Just be the chest shit guy forever.
This isn't just scat.
Yeah.
I wanna let you know that. This isn't just scat.
I just walk in a room one day like, yeah. Is that all this is? It was just scat buddies?
You're like,
it's an occupational hazard. Stop shitting on me.
What? I mean, Aaron Carter, he's bisexual. What are you going to do?
I mean, is he
bisexual? Might have been Lou Pearlman might have given it to him.
He sucked a couple dicks.
I don't know.
That's the thing.
Yeah, like, you suck a couple of dicks, you're not bisexual.
I know what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I feel like he's just trying to get out there, and we're going to hold him to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just trying to get some sympathy.
Oh, I'm coming. Are you gay?
Prove it.
Prove it. Prove it.
Aaron Carter, we're gonna run a train on your ass.
Maybe that should be the
your
angle.
Virgin ass.
We roll up on him, Jamie Kennedy style. We go, we hear you bisexual. We'd like to help you demonstrate that to America.
You see my agent calling me. Do you have an episode now where you describe in detail the rape of Aaron Carter?
It's not rape.
I'm like, no.
At worst, it's coercion.
We explore ideas with humor. That's what we do. Unite the right. I mean, not good.
No, I just
this, very bad.
This torch thing, it's
very
it's
bad,
garish,
and it's tiki torches.
Yeah.
They're holding backyard tiki torches.
I don't know who they're trying to compete
with. But not
with.
That like a lot of people are like making fun of them for that, which is fine, and I get it. But it's also like, yeah, it's bad. Like it's very bad.
Here's the problem: the American dream is the biggest lie. Look, the people in like 1950.
I love how after we talked about Demi Lovato shitting on you and me sodomizing myself to Aaron Carter, you're now going to try to wrap it up. This is like Jerry Springer's final thought.
The problem is the American dream is dead.
This idea, no, this idea that like we grafted ourselves by bootstrap. Yeah, the pioneers might have done that, and don't forget there was slavery and all and killing Indians. But sure, they were go-getters and they fucking built the railroads or whatever the fuck they did. But the point is, Once World War II happened, we've been a nation of slobs. People who get pensions and fucking, you know, jobs. Yeah, I guess you worked hard for 8 hours and you got fucking 60 grand and you get to fucking retire at 55. It was unsustainable. It's no one's fault but your own for taking the candy, all right? Stop taking the candy. Don't blame the blacks and the Mexicans and the other Hispanics and Jews.
I love that you don't know any other Hispanics.
Don't blame the Mexicans or the Aztecs.
For the fact that, you know, the cushy job that your dipshit dad had is gone now. Get a fucking job. Shut the fuck up. No one's oppressing white men. You have it fine, all right?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. When did a white man become such fucking pussies? They've always been, I guess. They've always just been this. I don't hate all white men. I'm doing okay. But the point is,
just Ray becomes the biggest thing in Black Lives Matter. He just becomes a huge activist. He's huge.
I'm just this idea that, like, look, you have years of oppression. Fucking women. You can't. Is the Google memo, like, are they actually being oppressed now? You can argue it, whatever. The point is, going back 30 years, are you really going to argue the fact that women were fucking second-class citizens and abused, and not to mention, again, the blacks and Hispanics and everyone else, and the white men just sitting on top going, yeah, we're just fucking playing golf and fucking drinking scotch. They did nothing. There's like 5 white guys who did something, and the rest of them just fucking coming along for the ride, and now you're like, oh, well, we're trying to fucking, like, you know, correct it after years of, like, slavery and then, like, you know, legalized oppression. We're trying to, like, make a correction. Oh, it's a little sloppy. Maybe some white people get left out of the best stuff at the picnic, and I'm sorry, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, when the market makes a correction, it gets messy.
I would love to open Aaron Carter's asshole with a rib, like a spare rib, at a picnic, just kind of going in and out.
Like the bone or with the meat on it?
No, the meat's on it. All it's right. Like, because it cushions it, you know, and it's going in and out, and then I'm eating it, and I'm putting it back in his ass, and I'm eating it, and then he's eating it.
Oh, yeah.
You
it's,
know?
It's tickles, but it also hurts.
It's spicy.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's got some, like, Frank's Red Hot on it.
Well, I don't know about Frank's, but it's got something. Yeah. I love open pit, great barbecue sauce.
Like the tangy. Open pit.
It's tangy. How long have we done here?
We're like $112.
All right, we're going to wrap. I think we've done quite enough. Right. Will you come to the show with me? I have a show at Lucky Jack's. Will you
sure,
go?
Sure, can I get a spot?
I'll email. Yeah, I'll ask Mino.
Cool.
All right. He loves the show.
Oh, before we go.
Yes.
I know you already got these shows to plug. Fuck, what's the date? Is it August 28th? You plug your shit. I'll bring it up.
17th through the 19th, I'll be at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. 25th through the 26th, I will be at Dead Crow Comedy in Wilmington, North Carolina. September 15th and 16th, I'll be at the DC Improv Lounge in Washington, D.C. November, I'll be at Magoobies headlining in Baltimore. October, I'll be featuring for Michelle Wolf at Hilarities in Cleveland. I'll also have a few headlining dates at Hilarities that week, too, on the off nights. Michelle's hilarious, one of the best comics working today. Honored to be there with her. And TimDillonComedy.com to sign up for tickets for when we do our next tour bus. We take out a double-decker bus in New York. We go through the city. Sometimes Ray comes. We fucking make fun of everybody. We talk about the rich. We show you where they live. It's a lot of fun. We're going to do that in L.A. too. If you're out in L.A., sign up. TimDillonComedy.com. We're going to email you and let you know when tickets come up for sale. You'll get a jump on them. You can get them. There's only 60 seats per bus. It does sell out quick.
Very quick.
It's a lot of fun.
Way quicker than I would think.
And Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N, on Instagram, Twitter. Please follow me on those two things. Rate, review, subscribe to Tim Dillon's Going to Hell on iTunes. If you can't subscribe to Gas Digital, if you can, $6 a month, you get everything. Ray.
Yeah. People a lot of times are asking me, hey, are you going to be the stand with Tim? I want to meet both of you together.
Well, yes.
You got your opportunity.
This is it.
August 28th, Monday, 10 p.m. Frantic at the stand. Always
yes.
A great show. Free tickets, but
it's
you
free.
Reserve your spot. Call up and, you know, is that how it works? They reserve spots?
Yes.
Okay, do that. And you can see both of us. We're both performing. You can meet us after. You can take pictures of my dirty hat.
You will take pictures with his hat. The stand's got great food. Go early. Have dinner. We'll fucking be there. We'll talk to you after. You know, if you want that, you might not want that. No. That's okay, too.
Yeah.
That's okay, too.
You're not Aaron Carter. We're not going to force you.
Wait, you're not who? You were going to say Aaron Glazer?
What did
you say?
I said Aaron Carter.
Aaron Carter?
I was going to say you're not Aaron Carter. We're not going to force you.
Oh, you're not Aaron Carter. Yeah, we're not going to force Aaron Carter. What are you doing? We just said it was coercion. Now we got a whole problem now. We got his legal team.
No.
I'm kidding. He doesn't have a legal team. But
also check out my new series on Facebook, Vice Sports Facebook. It's called That Happened. It should be a weekly thing. The last one came out last week. I'll let you next episode. I'll get more concrete.
We're gonna do a live Tim Dillon's Going to Hell. I think in October. I think the move here is something Halloween themed.
Sure.
Am I wrong?
Like a Halloween ass eating?
Something like
bobbing
that.
For ass. That could be fun.
I don't know why I got fired. I said, why don't we bob for ass? And then my security decal didn't work to get me in the building. I was having fun.
I love that your Google memo, by the way, would just be like something so ridiculous. Like, wouldn't be well worded. It's like, why did you get fired? Did he say anything about equality of men and women? It's like, no, he talked about scat for 5 minutes. He said you could shit on him as long as he got to do other things. And like, we didn't even know where this came from. He sent it to the entire company.
It was a mistake.
I just wanted to send it to one girl.
I was trying to send this to Demi Lovato.
All right, folks. Thank you.
One more thing.
Yeah, one more.
Guinea pig.
Guinea pig.